Ba-na-ba-bum.
Oh, before we start, going to do the inaugural. Smashing.
That is nice.
Welcome back. So, this week on the Inside Trial, I'm joined by Stephen Collins, the man here to my left. Jesus, that's poor. anyway, so, this is, how do I even introduce you, Stephen? You've got such a massive story behind you. So, basically, Stephen comes from the travelling community, but he also went through, you know, a big life scare. A year and a half ago. So, you know, I've been kind of keeping up to date on the things you've been doing, but it really went under my radar that you were sick. So, kind of the first thing that I want to just show everyone this, like, okay, so you had a brain tumour.
Yeah.
So, do you want to go ahead and tell me, or tell everyone about how you actually found out you had a brain tumour?
Well, about November of 6th year, I had 2 or 3 MRI scans, and then, like, I didn't know what story was why I was having these, and then, unfortunately, then we were told that there was a tumour there, about a month afterwards, so in around December, and I was called back in. And just before, I was about to go on holiday as well. So, just before I did, Jerry Foley, Arnie Hill, the doctor.
Yeah.
So, got in contact with Arnie Hill, and he knew the surgeon. So, they're all talking, and we got the date actually pushed forward, because I was going on holiday on the 19th of December. And the date that we were supposed to see the doctor was the 19th of December. So, imagine going to the doctor and then going to the plane.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? You wouldn't want to hear that when you're going on holiday. So thank God it was pushed back, so we got the date and then went on the holiday, and then and then we had 2 or 3 MRI scans after that, and then the SDP coordinator in Belvedere at the moment, and him, Leslie Brown, she was the vice principal in Belvedere, and Val Hamilton, she's the SEN coordinator, and then through her work and me being involved, actually helping her and seeing what the other SNAs do in the school, I decided to do the SNA course, but I also did it for, if my operation had to go anywhere bad, I'd be the one needing the help, do you know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
So it was it was something that I had to do, because I know if my operation had to go wrong, which it could have, about probably 90% could have gone wrong, do you know what I'm saying?
Because
man's working with your head, if anything had to go wrong there, I would be the one needing the help, so it's kind of I don't know how you'd put it, but it was just me giving back to...
Definitely, 100%. And, I'm going to burp. That's the one thing about Monster, it is kind of gassy. I apologize for burping the backstory. So, it's mad how, you know, obviously you were kind of... So, sorry. You actually came into Belvo. If anyone, I don't know if you're looking at time capsules recently, but back in 2011, 2012, Steve was actually on a program called...
The Scholarship.
So, and that is how you ended up in Belvo.
Yeah.
And so... You know, for someone from your community to then, you know, go from that into, you know, a private scholarship education, that must have been a huge cultural change for you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Me coming in to, not the high life, but, coming somewhere that no other traveller has been before, because I'm the first traveller to go to Belgium.
Yeah.
Being the very first traveller ever to go into, I think it's private education in general, is a big step. It's a big step, and not many travellers do it.
Yeah.
But there's also since that, there's been other travellers going to Belvedere.
Yeah.
And there's 2 lads in there that are from the travelling community. So it is a big step, but it's something that's worth taking, because
definitely.
It gives you some I'm burping as well.
It's the monster.
It's very gassy, it gives people chances that they wouldn't have got.
Definitely.
And being from a rough area like Darndale, Croyswood, or even coming from Cumberland, all these different areas. And 10% of Belvedere is full of lads that are on scholarship, and seeing the impact that they have on the school as well, and how where it takes them on a life journey, some lads do take it and some lads don't,
but to be fair, you grabbed it by the balls, you
literally tore it by the balls,
but it's one of those things that a lot of people have these opportunities given to them and, you know, they don't do anything with them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But there is an awful lot of them. There is, like...
But it's fantastic to see, you know, you're going in and you want just, like, I want to take everything from this. Like, like this is... Like, you went to America?
Yeah, I went to Boston, did an exchange there. The family... The actual... Belgrade made the exception for me because I'm living in a council house. They decided that with me having a house, like... But I'm only had 3 bedrooms, so imagine your man from America coming back into the council and then staying in the one room, it wouldn't be, it'd be too much bother and too much pressure. So they decided to like put them into some other house where
they worked room, around you, essentially,
exactly. And then I went over there, and like me being with the family over there, like. Mad.
That must have been a huge
swimming pool in the garden. The weather was lovely. I was over there making use of the swimming pool and they were on the gaff like doing what the fuck is he doing out there in the swimming pool, like. But it was but it was some experience, like me going over there. I brought $400 with me over to America. Some of the lads obviously brought loads of money. They were minted, like, so obviously me, like, not barely surviving, but like we're getting through, but not being able to spend like what you want to spend either.
Yeah.
But me bringing $400 over there, and the family at the end of the trip, the fucking end of the trip, right? They went on, bought a tracksuit, a Boston Patriots tracksuit for $400. Like, that was the same amount of money as I brought over. I was like, oh, what the fuck didn't you give it about 2 weeks ago when I came over? Like, I would have had $800 to myself, you know?
Yeah.
But no, like, them type of stories, like, also when I was over there, like, these stories that I'm, like, what I'm going to tell you, when I was over there, I went to a restaurant with the father and mother. The father is a real estate agent and the mother was, she's an accountant, but they call it a bookkeeper over there, obviously on serious amounts of money. Mm. And, I went out to this restaurant, but the father must have known the guy who owned it. Like, we didn't have to pay for food. Like,
it's all about who, you know.
It's contacts, man. That was like I never seen that before in my life.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Like, obviously, a lot of people doesn't see that, you know.
Yeah.
But like being from a rough area and like me from the traveling community, especially, like, you wouldn't really see like that happening much.
Mm. And so, you know, when you're kind of obviously moving in a slightly different direction than like your kind of usual traveler, and how they you know, you're going away from the traditional thing, do you think that will affect your kind of the way that you're seen in the traveling community?
Well, like, there is, like, with travelers, they're like, obviously, everyone's for themselves, first of all, you know? If you get an opportunity, you're going to take it with open hands. But, like, we're travellers. Obviously, they like seeing you doing well. And, it's great when you see someone doing well. Like, especially when, like, to say the SNA course. Like, there's not many, like, traveller men. And men in general in Ireland that's doing an SNA course.
Mm.
But it's the reasons that I have behind it. Not many people know the reasons why. But, like, it's because I want to give back.
Mm.
And doing all that. All, like, these sort of things here. That, like, giving back and, like, get a bit of fame with you, Dan, and, you know, yourself. But, like, doing things like this.
Chase the dream.
Yeah, doing this sort of thing, like, it opens your mindset more. And it gives you chances, you know what I'm saying? It gives you chances that you wouldn't really get anywhere else, so.
Yeah, but, like, you're going the right way about it. So, what you were telling... So, you were on the radio recently, on a radio show. You gave a talk at the ladies' lunch for the mothers of Belvedere, and he had all the women fucking. My own mother came on to me like, I met this boy named Stephen Collins. Oh, I was like, all right, man, chill out. Put it in your pants. But man, like, you're doing excellent for yourself. But your fight night that you've kind of taken hold of, that you're kind of stamping your name on. So why don't you explain to me what it is exactly you're doing with this fight night?
Is where we're training lads from first to sixth year. Obviously lads that never boxed before in their lives, probably coming from posh backgrounds, like middle class backgrounds that never did boxing before in their lives. So what we do is, I go in and we train lads from first to fourth year, like me, and there is another two traveller lads that did boxing, like, that are in the school now. Mm. But, like, at the start it was just me. So I was going in, I was training lads for 12 weeks, and after 12 weeks training, and like proper boxing training, like, this is not a where you go in and like you're introduced to it. It's like you're in now, just get straight down to it. Like, this is what you're doing, and you have to listen. If you're not listening, just get out. Like, you know. So what happened was, I trained the lads. I did a serious amount of training, 12 weeks. Obviously becoming not professional boxers, but like right to
improving.
Yeah, exactly. Some of the lads obviously took it on afterwards as well, but the fight night itself, what we did was, I picked the charity, and the money that we'd raise on the night, like, there'd be 10 or 12 fights, and after the 12 fights, the money that was raised would go to the charities. So each of the lads that were fighting, were obviously, we didn't look for, the lads that were, the best or the worst. Like, you try to get a mixed variety, because you don't want lads where it's just going and punch the head off one another, and then that's it, the fight's over. Because, this year, there was fights, and, two of the lads, they learned an awful lot outside fighting. Yeah. But, when you went into the ring, it was just, boom, boom. It was like robots, you know? And the fight was stopped because, it was just, you throw a punch, then I throw a punch. Like robots, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But,
so that mechanical
were trying to do was, trying to, learn the lads' life lesson by going, learning how to box, but also learning the other side of it. Like, you ever see, boxers might be, they might be the best boxers in the room, but they might be the quietest outside, do you know what I'm saying?
Learning how to be
humble and just being confident when you're fighting and stuff like that, and that's what I'm trying to teach.
So, when did you start boxing?
I started boxing when I was a kid, 8 or 9, but I also did, after that, I started doing other sports. I did combat sports, did karate, did kickboxing, and then I ended up doing boxing, and obviously, with me having the operation and stuff like that, couldn't do boxing as a big it's a big thing, because I'd often have fights where my weight would be 67 kilos, and 67 kilos is a popular weight. So when I'd be fighting, I'd have 10 fellas in my weight. So when you have 10 fellas in your weight, you're oh jeez, I'll just fight two, and then if I lose, I don't care, you know. And that's the way it is in boxing, because with the heavier weights, the younger you are and the heavier weight you are, you're going to have less fights. So, you could be 80 kilos there and you might have 2 fights, and one of them might be a walkover. You're supposed to be having 3, but you're getting 2 fights, and then you're true to all Ireland, and then you have 1 fight in Ireland, and then, you're Irish champion.
I've heard that before. I know some lads who are, heavyweights, and they don't have many. I think they've only had 2 or 3 fights ever. They just don't have that many people to fight.
But me getting that much experience, at the moment I'm doing training with 2 lads in Parnell's gym. That's my local gym. And I've been approached a few times by other lads in the gym, men, and they're coming around, they're doing the gym ages, but they don't want to be just all muscle. They want to be able to be off, throw punches and stuff, being able, not just being big and not being able to throw a thump. So, I got a few times there, lads would come up and ask me to do one-on-ones with them, learn out a training and stuff that. But, obviously, we have the operation again, and not being able to box, that's a big downfall, because I was a good boxer. I'm not going to say, oh, I was the best or anything like that, but, I was able to box. But me now not being able to box, I'm being a traveller as well, in the culture, you hear fellas doing bare knuckle boxing and all this sort of thing. This pulled me back a bit. Because not being able to box, it was a big thing to me. So what I'm trying to do now is I'm trying to the fight night, trying to not stop my career of boxing, because I'm doing good with doing the boxing, the fight night. I'm doing pads and training and one on ones with fellas in the gym. I'm just doing it to keep myself happy. And
it seems like that, you've kind of seeing that you can't necessarily do the actual boxing yourself, but you can still be involved.
Boxing.
You can still run the events, you can still train them. And from what you're saying, it sounds like that you're very, it's something that you're fucking loved, what I mean?
Exactly.
Which, as I was saying to you earlier, if you're doing something you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
100%.
So I think it's to find, fair, you did have that, hiccup of a brain tumor, Jesus. But you're not letting that fucking get you down, do you know what I mean? Exactly. Like, you had that and you're still finding a way to do what you love.
And doing them, like, them speeches in front of, say, like, your mother and other mother.
Man, that takes,
like,
man, I tell you, to stand up in front of a room of, you know, 500 people, like, which you probably would have had very little experience doing anything like that.
No, I did it once before that.
And just to have the balls to stand up and do that, like, I'll tell you, if I had to do that, I'd have to, I don't know.
I wouldn't, the first time now, I did it in front of my parents. And I was a bit nervous, but a bit ashamed as well, like, because, like, standing in front of, like, the first time it was 200 people.
Yeah.
And, like, me, there was this big head priest from the Vatican. He was over as well, but he's an Irish priest. He was actually in Belvedere as well.
And
doing a talk in front of people like that, that are, like you know that they're big, you know?
Yeah.
Had a bit of nerves, and then, like, doing it in front of my own family as well. Not that I was nervous, but, like, you know, afterwards, if you're talking, like, say, talking funny or something like that, and you're using these big words that you're not used to, like, my family, getting the banter off them and stuff like that, so, and then going on from doing a talk in front of 200 people to doing it in front of 500 people,
that's some
difference, like, and, but the second time, it was not normal, but it was, like...
From what I was told, you spoke exceptionally well, and it moved a lot of people in the room, so if it's any doubt to you, I'm telling you, it was, yeah, definitely a very good speech. But, so, in terms of going forward now, you were telling me that the next thing that could be on the horizon is an El Lower.
Yeah.
An El Book for the El Gaelgors out there.
Yeah. No, so, the book I'm going to try and do, well, I'm in the process of doing it. I'm doing it with a woman, and she's an agent. She works between Dublin and New York. And, obviously, she told me that she works with these big... Like, she does them with cooking, like, you know, chefs. She does them with chefs and well-known chefs around the world, she was telling me. And what she sees is, she sees the interest in, like, me talking about being a traveller and also getting the opportunities that I got and being able to do things that not many other travellers did. And being, being the first to receive a scholarship and the opportunities that has given me. And but also being a traveller and seeing where I came from, like living in a caravan until I was 9 in the traveller site, and then moving out and, like, still going to schools, but, like having these different opportunities and things that happened in life that actually made that path. Because, I remember in second class, I was held back, and only for I was held back, like, do you know Neville Keegan and Josh Goody and the lads? I was in their year, and I got held back. So they all went forward, and I didn't. Like, if I had to go on there, I wouldn't have known about the scholarship or anything like that.
Yeah.
But actually being held back helped me, like, to put me on the right path. So obviously things that happened and made the path for me, you know?
It seems like there's definitely some sort of path laid out for you or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything, it just seems like you know, you're destined to do something. And obviously, that's something I do feel when I'm talking to you, you know?
Having situations that happened, but, like, still turning out, like, because if I didn't have the operation, I know I was doing shit in my leaving cert.
Yeah.
It wasn't not happening. Like, academics was not a thing for me. Like, doing school. The school was all right. Like, and me talking, like I'm a person that just talks and talks.
Yeah.
So I was getting to know all these teachers and stuff like that and having the chats and, like, not doing the work.
Yeah, mate, I was the same. Like, don't worry.
No, but
it's help,
like,
for us all.
These exams were awful. I remember going into third year, and you probably remember it yourself, me bringing my parents in to get me junior cert results in fourth year, and my results were not even worth talking about. I'm not even gonna explain what I got. But they were, like, it was miserable, and but still, it was a laugh.
Yeah.
Like, but, we walked back out, and my daddy was laughing. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I suppose a big, I might get given out of saying, but academics aren't everything, do you know what I mean? I think, obviously, when you come through school, a lot of people will walk out with great results still, you know, they'll go on and do, but a lot of people, they come through school and they don't gauge, or they don't, you know, take in all the, you know, the morals, you know, all the good values that are meant to be given to you in school.
I think it's also, like, the lads who might come out with the best result might be able to talk.
Yeah, true.
You know, like, they come out with 630 points, and they do 4 or 5 years in college, and then they can't, they can't socialise, can't talk in front of people, like, they'd be scared to talk in front of, like, a crowd of people, so, like, having good results is not everything. And
definitely,
like, I think, like, with me, it was more like being social and interacting with other people in the college, and like not building contacts but building friends.
Yeah, definitely.
And then through that, like, having friends afterwards, you know. But like Belvedere, that's what Belvedere did for me.
Yeah,
and
I think,
and myself, like, me being able to talk and like me being able to bring my own culture into Belvedere, and like bring the fighting in, like talking to some lads like yourself here now and talking to them about like things that they might know about travellers. So like, it's interesting.
No, I do think now, without kind of bringing up stupid stuff, you know, I do think that kind of Belva has been given, you know, a bad rap in terms of things that have happened in the last while, you know. But
yeah,
it's all, as I was saying to you earlier, it's all down to, you know, one or two stupid individuals.
Oh,
and,
yeah, exactly,
you know,
yeah.
In the
one
papers.
Or two that destroy that destroyed a reputation,
yeah,
of the college and
but
stuff
then,
like that.
You know, like, what people don't know is that there's 170 people every year in Belvo, and there's, you know, what, 168 other lads who come through every year,
exactly,
who are fucking smashing dudes who don't do stupid,
yeah,
shit like that, and they still get. So, you know, a big thing of why I wanted to, you know, bring you on today was to kind of talk about that and to show, you,
yeah,
know, the good side of it. Like,
yeah,
I obviously don't come from the traveller community or anything like that, but I did come into Belvo as a different person,
yeah,
and definitely the way I left, they did
that's
a lot
more,
for me.
Yeah,
like,
exactly, yeah.
To do 6 years in there, and you know, I do think that the values that are instilled in a person, you know, and it can be kind of like, we come from two very different walks of life,
yeah,
you know, and
only
for
college you wouldn't be talking,
yeah,
like, you know, and like that's a big thing, and that's what Belvedere does for you. It's not only like, everyone thinks it's about going in and you're getting these results and that's the end of it, like,
no.
But it's what happens afterwards. It's like having that past pupils union and all that sort of thing. Like, not many other schools, like, oh, you go to a reunion probably 10 years' time,
yeah,
half of them wouldn't even go.
Yeah.
With Belvedere, they have these annual things,
yeah,
that happen every year.
Yeah.
And, like, especially the rugby, like, you were a big player in the rugby and the school needed you, because only for you, like, probably, like, many of the stuff might not happen, like, in the senior club.
Plenty more of them.
Yeah, no, obviously, but, yeah. But you were, like, in the time I was there, like,
yeah,
like, I left last year,
yeah,
but like since that, like, I don't think since your year and our year, like,
yeah,
it's been a big change. I'm not gonna run down
yeah,
any of the rest of them, because they're all serious lads and they're big lads, a lot bigger than me,
yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But like, that's them sort of things like happen every year, and it brings all the past pupils into,
yeah,
like you come back, I come back watching these other like young lads play the rugby, and that's what I think it does for you. Like,
it's
it keeps
a community.
You, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that keeps on growing and
absolutely,
you know? And it's a great thing, because not many other schools do that. And especially for me being a traveller, like, if I had to go to the tech, that's, or like any other school,
yeah,
like, that's, it's in, like, Coolock.
Yeah.
And, like, that's where I'm from. And I would have gone there. I know that for a fact. I would have,
yeah,
gone there if I didn't go to Belvedere, because my name was down and everything. And if I had to go there, like, that was it. I was going to third year. I was probably going to go to Foss or Ute Reach.
Yeah.
Probably, if not that, I would probably be doing, say, security, doing, like, I was working in Clarks, that was due to Belvedere. Like, you know, when I put my name on the CV,
yeah,
like, that was the main thing I was looking at. Like, because I remember the manager in Clarks on Henry Street, like, looking at my CV, oh, you went to Belvedere. Do you know?
Yeah.
And them sort of things there, like, you can see what the college does for you. But if, I know, if I went to any other school, I was dropping out in third year. I was probably going to be doing gardening.
Yeah.
If not gardening, doing security. And if not that, just on the dole. And I wouldn't be on the dole either, because you're only 16, you know?
Yeah.
And I knew that would have been the end of it, like.
Yeah.
But me turning the person I am now into the way I was going to be if I didn't get Belvedere, like, I'd probably be married and all, you know?
Yeah.
Being married, because, like, with travellers, like, that's why they drop out young, is because, like, some of the traveller lads, when their friends are leaving, they're going to want to leave. Like, half my cousins now, I'd say, all of them, nearly, they're all out of school. And
yeah,
there's fellas there younger than me, 16, 17, that are younger than me, yeah? And, like, they are leaving and they're working. But, like, in the long run, like, and it's not even the long run, because I'm only in school since 6 years.
Mm.
And me going on to these radio shows and, like, this woman coming up to me, talking to me about doing my own book. Like, these are things the travellers never did before.
Yeah.
And, like, it's only took me 1 year, not even a year out of Belvedere. And
yeah,
these opportunities are happening, you know? And, like, if I had to go to any other school, I'd just be doing the dole, doing some, like job that you don't want to be doing, do you know?
Yeah.
Like probably being on like not a shit wage, but like €10 an hour, coming out with about €400 a week.
Yeah.
I'm like, God knows what the opportunity, what these things are doing, like these opportunities that I'm getting here, and what they're going to build up to in the future, do you know?
Yeah.
Like there's always like the other radio show that I was on. Your woman said to me, "Why don't I apply to write to Near FM?" And that's the local radio. But like me having my own 2-hour slot there and talking about having travellers, like even getting yourself, you know, I'm on your radio show now, getting yourself to come on.
Definitely.
And like, all these sort of things, like having travellers come on the show, like say, do you know, Big Joe Joyce, all of them sort of fellas that are from the travelling community, and obviously they have a big influence on the travelling community because everyone loves seeing them.
Yeah.
And they love being, like, not that they love being in the limelight, but like everyone loves watching them, the way they get on, and they're funny.
Yeah.
Like it's
they funny.
Funny.
They
and
funny.
Like seeing them, like this fella Joe Joyce, he can, like, not only is he funny, but like he's a serious boxer. Like this fella, like if he was professional, like towards like Anthony Joshua and stuff like this, like this fella is like the Tyson Fury of bare knuckle boxing.
And can I ask you, for in terms of bare knuckle boxing, is that like it's a like how does that can it be justified to not just put gloves on and make it a little less?
Like, yeah, it could be, but like
the, what is the
that's
big
the tradition
thing?
That's the yeah. that's brought there since years, man.
Yeah.
That's there, like that's like boxing's there since probably set. I don't know how long it's there. It's here, probably nearly decades. I don't know how long. Yeah, exactly. But like that's probably even that. I'd say that's there even before boxing was brought in.
Yeah. Because, and is it so? Like after, like let's say there's like, is there kind of fighting within families or are they
so
families
I'll
against
tell you
families?
Now, with the boxing, right? With bringing up a boxing, say me and you has a dispute. But, like, it could be true, a family wedding. So,
okay.
Me and you could be drinking one minute at the wedding, and you might give me a smart answer. So, like, we're drinking at mate's wedding,
yeah.
And, like, we're up on the dance floor. You might bump into me or something like that, and, like, say, push and shove, and then you might throw a slight thump or something like that. Or so, just, it could be anything. Like,
yeah.
It could be just the families mightn't get along or anything like that. But just say that, for example, that happened. Like it could be brought further, families might be brought into it.
Yeah.
So like say the two fellas are fighting, like it might be a brother and a sister married in true that way.
Yeah.
So like me and you was fighting, but my brother is married to your sister.
Yeah.
And it's like true, do you know?
And then like afterwards, like once that like fight has happened, is
yeah.
it like, right, that's it's done?
That, like sometimes that's the case, but sometimes they might want a round two or
yeah.
a round three.
But
you know?
Like it's always like it'll always be settled in a
oh yeah, it'll be always like shake hands and
yeah, but I mean like, it doesn't, you know, fall back into their day to day stuff being like, oh fucking this happened, yes I have to go get him.
Would you
or...
say with travellers like as you know yourself, an awful lot of them are like unemployed.
Yeah.
So like if you're unemployed and you're not really busy and you're bumping into a fellow that you don't like the whole time.
Yeah.
You know?
You can understand how it happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So like it depends. Like some travellers are working and they're like, it's like everyone, if you're working you're working, if you're not that's it. But like if you're not working and there's a fella there and you keep on bumping into him and you're and he's irritating you,
I
like,
can
you
see
this fella,
happens,
you know, like that's how it would happen. But the bare knuckle fights, a lot of things got to do with it now as well, is like drugs. So like, you know, like the fella might be doing anything to you, but you just see his face the whole night. And some fella might be off his head and then like
just,
you're, yeah exactly, and like, do you know what I'm saying?
I know
like,
the way, yeah.
Like,
I've had a couple of people like, you just kind of want to give a thump to.
Yeah, exactly. But there's an awful lot of things in it as well. There's money, like obviously it's not professional and there's no training in it. Like if you're fighting, you're doing it, you're doing the training, that's it. You're doing your training for 12 weeks, I'm going to be doing mine for 12 weeks, and then may the best man win. Like, but
yeah.
Sometimes it's like, with my name at the moment, the Collinses, and like there's a Quinn, like Quinn family is as well, but like the like you might have seen it on the what was it called, the Knuckle, which is not a documentary, it was not a documentary, it was a film called Knuckle. It was about these two traveller families and just like things happened between the years and they fell out, and now it's all like there are two of them hate, like they don't hate one another but just can't get along. And like obviously shit happened and they started fighting. And yeah. But like, that's the way it is. Like they like it's it might be something like that, but like also it could be like it's other things as well. Mm. Like, but I'm like, that's it. But after that, like, man, best friend winning. Mm. And they just don't want the bother of being involved
in that. Yeah. And then, so can I ask you then for? Like, that's kind of obviously one of the kind of very traditional things involved in the travelling community. Yeah. But another one is getting married very, very young.
Yeah.
So, you know, how common is it for, you know, when you're 16, 17, 18 to be married now? Like,
well, you should know because I was getting married in Belvedere.
Didn't invite me to the wedding, I was actually quite torn up. Like, you didn't actually get married, but yeah.
Yeah. But, you're invited.
I would have shown up for the overall after.
Nah, with travellers, the thing is, like, a lot of people think that there's these arranged weddings that happen an awful lot. That's not true. Like, arranged weddings don't happen. They might happen, but it's not true. The two people, your mummy and my mummy, wants to put this wedding on, so it's gonna happen. Yeah. You know, like, it'd be done differently. If there was an arranged wedding, like, you might ask my dad, if you want to marry my sister, like your father would, ask my father out for a drink and bring it in slowly,
that type of way. Yeah,
but, like, that doesn't really happen, because it'd be too shameful, do you know?
Yeah.
The way it does happen, it's social media now and stuff like that. Like, there are, four girls that mightn't be on social media. The parents mightn't let them. So, I was talking to two boys, and they're married now. They're about the same age as yourself, 22, 23. Yeah. And, what they do is, this is one, with the Collinses, say Collins, they might have Stokeses, they might have all these different names, but each of them, each clan might have, you wouldn't call them clans, you just, they're all the same, families. You know, just travellers, all families, and, they might have a different way of getting on, so, their family mightn't allow their daughters to, go on social media.
Yeah.
So, if that was the case, obviously, everyone's not going to stick to it.
Yeah.
But, if their daughters weren't allowed to go on social media, but then that boy just has to go over and ask her. That's what we call it. We call it, do you know the way you use, set of people, might have to go over and say go on a date or something like that. You might ask with the girl, she might say I'm with this boy, but with travellers you can't do that. Like travellers, if you want to be with a girl, you have to actually say can you marry her. You have to go over and propose.
Big step.
With travellers, you don't get down on your knee. You straight away, can I get married to me? I just say you'd go into their house and ask the father might know. I'd say it about 99% of the time he wouldn't know, you'd be told by other family members that this fella's going over to ask and he wants to know can he ask for your daughter. But what that means is it's only dating until they'd arrange a wedding afterwards.
Yeah.
So see how they get on, the boy and the girl. And then a bit afterwards, they might start planning a wedding. Because travellers, assuming as some of them might be getting married since they're 16 or 17.
Yeah.
And then you have to get married because the legal age to get married in Ireland I think is 18.
Yeah, I think so.
So up the north it's 17. Mm. And I know that because some travellers do go up the north to get married.
Yeah.
So they'd have to get married. Up there you get married at 17, so they go up there. But how it happens is I go and ask your dad can you get married, and you wouldn't get down on the knee but you'd know. Mm. And then after that you'd date for a while, say 7 or 8, 9 probably a year, and then get married after that. Mm. If they're getting along well and
you've no plans of getting married anytime in the near future.
I won't say much.
Keep your cards close.
I don't want to that's putting it into context, but I can't talk because
I understand completely. But you know, we're going to move on to our segments now, but I actually can't wait to see what's in store for you. Do you know that? I really like your mindset, your attitude.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I think there's a lot more that we're going to have to talk about, but we just won't
be able to
get
on
with the one.
Wait until the book comes out. Yeah. Then, sure.
Man, we'll definitely do this again.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's...
Fingers crossed now. Fingers crossed that all works.
Right, so do you want to give me your joke?
Me joke. You started off. It started off the worst one, didn't it?
We'll get it out of the way.
The joke. What was the joke? Jesus. We changed it to the I can't remember the joke.
Beard. The beard.
What was a man without a beard? I don't know. What would you call a man without a beard?
Yeah, I don't know.
a woman.
Hopefully. Okay, did you hear about the claustrophobic astronaut?
No.
He just needed a little bit of space. So good, it's such a crack. Alright, so have you got your life hack for me?
Right, I have this one. Alright, did you ever see, like, for most lads, I don't know if this is true or not, but I'm going to tell you my story. So did you ever see when you go up in the morning, you might have the butter in the fridge, and the butter is rock hard.
Yeah.
So a way to butter your bread in the morning, or butter your toast, is actually stick the knife under a bit of hot water.
Yeah.
Like, make it a bit soft, like that.
Not like a hot knife, yeah, through, exactly, butter.
That was one that I was thinking. That was also, if you're in Grafton Street, where a lot of people are, obviously, if you're looking for a right toilet to go with there,
yeah,
go to Brown Thomas.
Yeah.
All right, they have like this bathroom, like you're anyone's allowed into it, but yeah, it's mint. Like,
lovely,
yeah,
toilet.
Fresh.
Do you have any shout on Grafton Street?
Yeah, exactly.
BT,
like, cheers. So some of them toilets up there, that one there, Brown Thomas's, you get your door open and off, yeah, I'm telling you, just get in there.
Tops. Well, unfortunately, yeah, my life hack this week isn't somewhere to shout. Well, unless when I shout in these toaster bags. So these toaster bags are fucking smashing.
Toaster bags, then.
Yeah, man.
You put your cheese sandwich in there, make toasties with them.
Man, it's tops, like.
They're about a 20-year-old, Dan.
Yeah, I know, but like, they're a fiver. Like, and I only found them.
A fiver.
Found them the other day in JC's and Swords. If anyone's around that neck of the woods, make a full sambo. Stick a load of meat, a load of cheese, a load of sauce.
You get your whole lot in there.
Get your whole sambo.
Put it in the toaster.
Just because
none of the crumbs going in it. Jeez, that's decent.
Yeah, well, I was looking at how much one of the toaster makers are, and I was like, they're a bit expensive.
I'm going to have pop around the JCs now that I got one of them. You might even give me them ones,
then. Yeah, we might do. Alright, so on to the trivia. Right, so trivia today, obviously, Tom, you still got the top spot, mate. You're doing great out here.
Is this Tom DeYoung?
Tom DeYoung, yeah.
Oh, sure, he's a clever bastard anyway.
We actually will have Tom on in 2 or 3 weeks again to discuss some cool shit, but and we're going to make him, you know, try and get... If he doesn't get 5 again, I'm actually going to be cruel, and his next score will be his new score, so...
I'm going to rub Tom's name out and put mine out.
Alright, so, Stephen, how many furlongs are there in a mile?
Furlongs? Oh, this is the horse. Oh, jeez. 5?
8.
Oh, that was close.
Mm.
I should have known that one, like.
How many strings has a cello got?
Cello is the one that you play, like...
Yeah, yeah. The big...
Which one is this?
The big thing. That's a cello, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a
violin,
isn't it?
No,
the one you rest her up.
Is this the one that stands up?
Yeah.
The cello. Six, is it?
4.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Okay, what is the medical term for your voice box?
Esophagus?
Larynx.
Oh.
Where was Christopher Columbus born?
Colombia.
European.
And the Icelandic kind of birds? No.
No.
Oh, I don't know. Netherlands?
Italy.
Oh, that was... Ah, jeez, that's rough.
What is the currency of Japan?
The currency of Japan? Yen.
Nice, lad. Nice.
Is that the last question?
No, that's only number 5.
Oh, Jesus, I was going to say...
No, you've got 5 left.
How's Tom has 5?
Yeah.
And I have to get 5 right now?
If you get your next 5 right, then you have 6, and then you beat him.
If I can't beat him like that, I'm obviously going to have to use my hands.
I'm
coming for you.
Okay, which type of elephant has the biggest ears?
A big-eared elephant? the daddy elephant?
African elephant.
Alright. I don't know.
Okay.
Ah, Jesus, Tom, that's it, you win.
What is the hardest type of rock? Give you a clue, it's not necessarily what you're.
Alright, obviously, yeah, I'm not that stupid either, Dan. Tell me what the name of rock starts with, like, what letter?
D.
Oh, that's not igneous or anything like that.
No, like, it's
How would you explain this now?
So,
who picked these questions? Did you pick the question?
Yeah, blame Kev. I don't want to point this thing. Alright, it's just like it's the hardest rock. Like, it's not like something that you would have necessarily learned. It's not something that.
You wouldn't even learn this in school. You wouldn't learn it anywhere.
Yeah, you would learn anywhere. you probably wouldn't have learned it in school in geography. Like, it's not that kind of rock.
That's desperate. I call it desperate rock. No.
Diamond.
Diamond. You just say a diamond. That's a rock. But it is. Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Diamond.
In Fahrenheit, what temperature does water freeze at?
I don't even know what that is in Celsius. Yeah.
It's zero in Celsius.
Is it zero? Yeah. Zero. 60, 40?
32.
Oh, that's rough.
Oh, you have two left, right?
Yeah, that's terrible.
Little Cuba is the nickname for what US city?
Mexico?
No.
Oh, I'm close?
You're close with the M part.
What's that again? What's the question?
Little Cuba is the nickname for what US city?
I don't know.
Miami.
Okay,
I threw in a boxing one at the end just to see, so it's right. A hard boxing one, but still.
That's a hard boxing one.
What was Muhammad Ali's birth name?
Cassius Clay.
Boom! The boxing champ.
Will Paddy.
So,
yes, lads.
He's above Paddy and Will.
And you put me up front of Orla, and all the ones at number two as well.
Yeah,
so
look, I'll just stick you up there.
I'm in front of the line, yeah.
We've actually, our most common score is two. Well... Yeah, roughly two. So
I'm at the top of number two.
Representing the travellers today, Stephen. Get up. Man, fuck it. It's been absolutely fucking magical to talk to you today. I wish you the best over the next while with everything that you're planning. It sounds like you've got a lot to keep you busy with. Yeah. So hopefully I'll be able to nab you for a bit just before you go off to Hollywood or wherever the fuck you're going to go.
Listen.
Always have to remember me, Stephen. And this time, maybe when you guys get married, you'll invite me. Fucking.
Yeah, sure, why not? It'd be like a royal wedding dance.
Bro. Absolutely, dead right. that's it, really, from us here at the Inside Trail. Have you anything that you wanna say before we...
Not really, no. There's nothing to talk
about. That's it. In fairness, we've been gone for 45 minutes, so...
Well, it's not all shout out to Dan here. Dan's been amazing. Like, he's doing all this great work.
Thanks very much. Well, hopefully we can continue to do so.
Oh yeah, John Connors actually, he might if it's only a chat, but he might actually wanna get in contact with him about.
Yeah, definitely. It'd be
decent, yeah.
Be 100%, John. If by chance you are listening out there somewhere, I would love to meet you, dude. But other than that, from us here at the Inside Trail, ba-da-ba-ba.